Good morning, everyone. Good
morning, Vicki.
Raise my pinky, raise my pinky, see it again with you, Lord. Raise my pinky, raise my pinky, see it again with you, Lord. You, Lord, the great creator, the one God, a mediator, sending on my behalf, interceding at my hand. I'll be free from feeling worthy, not anxious or even hurry, when I set my mind on the things above, focused on your grace and love. Is my thinking, raise my views, see it again with you, Lord. Raise my thinking, raise my views, see it again with you, Lord. You, Lord, the great creator, one God, a mediator, defending on my behalf, interceding in God's right hand. I'll be free from not anxious or in a hurry, when I set my mind on things above, focused on your grace and love.
How encouraging, how edifying. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, a beautiful Sunday morning, like the morning when Christ was raised from the dead in a flash. Father, may we be raised on the inside this morning as we behold the things of heaven, the things of the kingdom, which are so vitally important for our life and time, this temporal, material continuum. Father, may we, like Christ, find and hide the treasure of the word, the sarks, the word treasure in our hearts. Bless the word as it goes forth in our hearing, to our understanding, in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord, our great God and Savior, intercessor, advocate, paracletos. In Jesus' name, amen. I have a title of the message today, like last week, Hidden Treasure. This is part two. And Sunday, July 9th, 2017. It starts out with homoia from homios, which means just like. So it says the kingdom. That's basileia. Tone, Urinon, the kingdom of heaven, of the heavens, literally, it's genitive masculine plural. Now, heavens, the kingdom of the heavens. Kingdom singular, the heavens is plural. The kingdom of heavens is just, the kingdom of the heavens is just like a treasure, a thesaurus, which is a word treasure. That's where we get the word thesaurus. If you ever look at Roger's thesaurus, it gives you synonyms, and it's a treasury of words, very helpful in composing any type of written communication or or a writer, it's indispensable. The word here, like it is in all of these parables, is the seed. And the field is the world. Not the world in its physical existence or formation, but the world of mankind. The treasure is found in the world of mankind. And it is, according to our passage, kept in. The psalmist said in Psalm 119:11, "Your word have I hid in my heart." The apostle Paul said that the believer is hid with Christ in God, Colossians 3:3. The church is a mystery hidden from ages and generations past, hidden from both men and angels. In Ephesians 3:1, which you can turn to, look at you. Involved here right away. Ephesians 3:1. Paul is telling us about a great revelation that he received in the third heaven. He refers here to 2 Corinthians 12, 1-9, where whether in the body or out of the body, he wasn't sure, but he knows that he was in the third heaven, in the paradise of God, and received unspoken, spoken words. And then God had to put him in prison so that he might have the necessary focus, the necessary concentration to write under inspiration his 13 epistles, all of which contain parts and various aspects of the mystery of Christ and the body of Christ, which is the church. In 1 Timothy 3:16, magnificent is the mystery of godliness. He who was manifest in the flesh, Christ, vindicated in the spirit, through his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, by the power of God, viewed by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, and taken up into glory. There's the mystery. That's the mystery of godliness. If you understand that, you'll have a godly life. Godliness is one's supernatural and divinely motivated devotion to the glory of God by pure grace. That's my definition of godliness. You survive. That meets with God's good pleasure. Faith, hope, and love. All three of which he produces in man, in the world, in the field. Gold, silver, and precious stones. Man can't duplicate what God produces in the earth. God has to do it. And it's his doing, and it should be marvelous in our eyes. So, Ephesians 3:1, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles." I told you God had to put him in prison so that he would have the focus and concentration and the time necessary to receive inspiration, his 13 epistles. "If indeed you have heard of the stewardship," the house rules, the economy, literally, oikonomia, economy, when we get our word economy, "the stewardship, administration, or economy of God's grace, which was given to me," Paul says, "to me and me alone, for you." It's for your understanding, for your information, for your benefit. For your advantage. But that by revelation, an unveiling, there was made known to me the mystery, mysterion, that is a secret now revealed. Paul's revealing it even here. "The mystery which I wrote before in brief." He's talking about his letter, which we call 2 Corinthians, in verse 12, where he talks about the exceeding great revelation that was given to him, and along with a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet it. because of his exceeding great revelation, so that he wouldn't boast beyond measure. Because he received what nobody else did. The most amazing, the capstone revelation of all Scripture. To see the plan, the purpose, and the will of God in the church age. The radical plan and remedy of God for each and every one of us. So that there might be a remnant, right, Terry? Throughout church history to the end of time. Even through the tribulation period. As God redeems the entire believing remnant of Israel. Delivers them alive into the millennial kingdom. It's about the kingdom. And he has plans for you where the kingdom is concerned as well. That's what Paul preached. He continued to preach about Jesus Christ and things concerning the kingdom in Acts 28. That's what he taught. That's what all the apostles taught. So, he says, by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight. Can you understand his insight? He's saying you can have the same insight I have. In what? In what way? In what subject? Into the mystery of Christ. He's the mystery man. God in the flesh. See, I can't fully comprehend that. Well, you will someday. And you're here so that you might do it substantially before you leave. It'll help a lot. It's amazing. That believers really do not have any real or detailed understanding of who Christ is or of the Trinity. They think God is mean, Jesus is nice, and the Holy Spirit does miracles. Nothing could be further from the truth. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen my Father. For the Father and I are exactly alike. Exactly alike. You see, God the Father is Jesus Christ. Oh, the prophet said, and he shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. All of those. He's just like the Father. The Father's like him. And it pleased the Father that all of the fullness of the Godhead would dwell in him bodily. Bodily. In Colossians 2:1-10. Something like that. Anyway, so, back to our text. He says, my insight into the mystery. You want to have Paul's insight into the mystery. Which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men. As it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. Not all of them. Directly, but one of them directly, Paul, and then he taught the others. It took him a while to get through to them. It was because of this revelation that he went up to Jerusalem so that he might inform them of God's purpose in amalgamating into one body. And this has to do with the pearl of great price. He sold all of the various pearls to buy one pearl. That is, the unity with an amalgamation of Jews and Gentiles, Jews and non-Jews, Jews who know they're Jews, and Jews who don't know they're Jews, along with all others, into the corporate body of Christ. You get that, right? That's part and parcel of the mystery. Oh, the mystery is very, very extensive. There's many, many aspects to it. 31 aspects in the 31 mentions of Scripture. In the 31 books of the New Testament. So anyway, let's go. It says, Paul says, that it was not made known to the sons of men as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. It's the Spirit that gives us understanding. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs. And fellow members of the body, just like I said. And fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the good news, the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me according to the working of his power. Sounds like God's doing it all, doesn't it? To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the nations the unfathomable riches of Christ. We're talking about the treasure. The unfathomable riches of Christ. And to bring to light what is the economy of the mystery, the administration, the stewardship of the mystery, which for ages, time immemorial, has been hidden in God, who created all things, that is, with a view to this great mystery. It underlies everything. So that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church, through us, to the rulers and authorities. Those are angelic rulers and authorities, high-ranking angelic beings, in the heavenlies, Aranios, in the heavenly places, where the kingdom of the heavens functions even now, and will come to earth when Jesus Christ comes in his second advent, not in his mystery appearance for the church, where he harpazo snatches us away, but afterwards when he comes with the saints and angels. Manifold wisdom of God may now be made known through the church to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which God carried out in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Somewhere in the world, there was a treasure of the Word that was kept hidden. That treasure was guarded by the Lord by hiding it, by having it, holding it most dear. In every generation of human history, there are those who are granted the knowledge, recognition, and appreciation of just how valuable, how rare, and how precious the Word is, which contains, as we just read, the unfathomable riches of Christ. No one but Christ knows where the treasure is hidden, where it lies. So therefore, no one can find it that shouldn't find it, or have it that shouldn't have it. So he says, it was hidden. This treasure was hidden in a field. And a man hid it. And after hiding it and having found the treasure, he hid it in a field. And went away. For the joy that was his in finding it, went away and sold everything. As much as he has, and buys the field. That field. So, that which is considered most precious is kept hidden, encrypted, kept under lock and key, kept in a vault, hidden from view, out of sight, out of reach of those who would steal it, tamper with it, distort it, or dishonor, devalue it. To be hidden is to conceal or hide something from view, to cover it, to bury it, to camouflage it, lest it fall into the hands of the enemy. God has plans for the treasure for its future use. The first one is to finance the kingdom. Spiritual riches, which will be the actual, the physical, rather than the ethereal or invisible assets and riches of Christ. Everything will flip-flop. And I'll say more about that in just a moment. That's a little confusing to some people, but it's not confusing at all. Because the material will be spiritual. Spiritual will be material, material will be spiritual. And the riches of Christ that you have now, spiritual blessings, will be spending money. Spending money. Nice. Don't you like to have a pocket full of spending money? Oh, man, and if it's the riches of Christ, that'll be even more fun. There will be nothing you can't buy and have. And it'll all be perfect, pure, sinless, redemptive, Christ-glorified. You won't have to ask the question, does this glorify Christ like we try to do now? No. No, it probably doesn't. If you have to ask the question, it probably doesn't. But if he does it in you, then you have the conviction to move forward. Anyway, I transgress, not digress, transgress. Anyway, he's going to use the riches of Christ to restore the world, to redeem the universe, to convert the ethereal and hidden riches of Christ to visible, tangible, personal assets. Treasuries owned in conjunction with Christ, belonging to Christ and the royal family of God. Get a piece of the action. For now, it's hidden in the field. This, of course, is part and parcel of the prophecy and promise of God made to Abraham that he would be what? Heir of the world. Not heir of the Middle East, the land. Parcel that was promised to him and to his heritage forever. No. Heir of the world. In Romans chapter 5. He was promised to be heir of the world. The world. You know what? Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That's the Beatitudes. The blessings of those in the kingdom. Who are members in, first class members in the kingdom. First class citizens. The ruling, reigning aristocracy of the kingdom. You say, well, I don't aspire to that. Well, you should. Because that's what God has in store for you, in mind for you. That's his plan for your life. That you might leave here capacitated for eternity. You got so much of the word residing and circulating, and he just takes that and converts that in a moment into the greatest spiritual reality you can even imagine. And you live in it every day, and you're in the presence of Christ, close to him, perhaps seated on his throne with him, because you overcame to the era of Laodicea, which means the people. That's for our next message. I did a lengthy portion on the people rule. You don't want the people to rule. You want Christ, the king, to rule. So, for now it's hidden. For the time being, it's hidden in the field. The treasure. All of this is because the singular seed, the promise to Abraham, that his seed would have an inheritance and heritage. It's all because of the promise of God that his singular seed, who is Christ, not Isaac, but Christ, in Galatians 3:16, it says, and when he said, to your descendants shall be this and that, he did not say to seeds, plural, but to seed, referring to one, referring to Christ. So the promise is ultimately made by Christ, to Christ, by God. And we're hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we'll appear with him in glory. Isn't that exciting? Let me see everybody smile. Yeah, Lord! Thank you, Lord! Sometimes you have to, well, in private, you're allowed to be very expressive, emotional, and Pentecostal. But not in public, because it just doesn't go over very well. Like a lead balloon, it doesn't. People go, okay, that's why I don't want to be a Christian. If I have to act like him. Everybody stand and wave their hands. Mel, did you bring the tambourines? Okay, good. John has a perfect head for a tambourine to beat a tambourine on. Now I do digress. For sure. the singular seed who is Christ. He would have so many physical and spiritual descendants. This is the promise of God to Abraham, that they would outnumber the stars. With a reference to angels, more than angels. A number greater than angels over the course of human history. So don't say, where is the promise of his coming? Because his delay is salvation for more and more and more people. So he might fulfill that number when the fullness of the Gentiles are brought in conjunction with the cup of iniquity filling all the way up and just getting ready to overflow. Then he comes. And through the most extreme measures, rescues the remnant of Israel. And in 7 years, that's all it takes is 7 years. It's all over but the shadow. As Christ comes to rule for 1,000 literal years, and then afterwards creates a new heaven and a new earth, where he says, instead of saying, it is finished, he says, it has begun. Behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth. For the first heavens and the first earth are done away. They're finished. Now we've got a new beginning. In this world, Peter says that only righteousness dwells at home. Won't that be something? Because there's hardly any now. Even human righteousness isn't abundant. Almost non-existent. It's all a bunch of lies and smoke and mirrors to make you think it's good when it's really evil. Good and evil come from the same tree. So, all these descendants promised him that outnumbered the stars and grains of sand on the seashore. That's a lot of descendants, isn't it? This would occur starting with, not starting with, but the promise is made and then many other things occur. But by the ad hoc adoption and appointment of Joseph's younger son, Ephraim, as firstborn, to lead the children of Israel, that's Joshua, and then to lead astray, literally. What was that guy's name, Terry? Jeroboam. Yeah, lead them astray. That's what he did. So to lead them into the promised land and lead them astray, the 10 northern tribes, who would soon vanish into the world population, never to return to Israel, and survive by the will and word of God. The many plagues and wars of ancient times as they migrated westward, populated the European nations, and eventually became believers in Christ. These would flee by the millions under persecution to the New World to escape the religious tyranny of the Roman Church, and soon after fight off the political tyranny of England to be the first democratic republic and free nation since Senatus Populusque Romanus, the people and Senate of Rome. That's why the revived Roman Empire is the United States of America. It's the only republic that has existed since. It's not a monarchy, it's a republic. Senate and people. It's a government of, for, and by the people. By and large, a Christian nation, at least founded as such, the USA would evangelize the world. It did already. And grow to become the most remarkable and prosperous nation in the history of the world. Bar none. No other nation has come anywhere close to its exalted status. But as goes the believer, as goes the Christians, so goes the nation. And in this, the final era of church history, number 7 addressed by Jesus in Revelation 2 and 3, 7 churches, which is a panoramic view of 7 consecutive eras of church history. And I think you can hardly escape the fact that we're in the last one if you read it. So, in this, the final era of church history, this nation, where the people rule, That's what Laodicea means. Laos means the people. And Dike means, Laodicea, Dike means to rule, the people rule. Where the prosperity, their prosperity is exalted, and Christ is locked out of the church. He's knocking on the door. He's not knocking on the door of their heart. He's knocking on the door of their church. Church isn't about Christ. It's about suppers. Not about dining with him, but about having suppers in the fellowship hall. Nothing wrong with that, as long as you're dining with Christ. That's your first priority. Each one, and then together. You know, our fellowship, he said, we have fellowship together because our fellowship is with Christ, with God and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Truly, our fellowship is great, if that's the order that we have existing in our souls. So, the prosperity in Laodicea is exalted. Christ is locked out. Left out of the services of social life. Their daily schedule, especially their daily schedule. That's where he has to be. He has to be in your daily schedule. First in your daily schedule. First in your daily schedule. What's that mean? First things first. Frank and I were talking yesterday. He stopped out. And he said, the only way that you can have a spiritual life is to get the word first every day. Otherwise, you're not going to have it at all. And you're going to wonder why everything turned to scoobula. And it will. And it may still do that, but you'll be able to handle it. And it won't move you when it does. Because stuff happens. So don't overthink. Just press on and trust God. Every day in the details of life. And you'll be just fine. But get the word first. There's so many. Wonder what's wrong. They're under discipline. Why? Because they're not disciples. You've got to be a disciple. Once you get saved, he calls you to be a disciple. A disciplined learner, an apprentice of the master. That's what we're here for. We're not here to have a nice and happy and good and jolly life. Oh, you may have that as a result, but that's not why you're here. People on the frantic search for happiness, they can't find it ever. There's always something that displeases them or makes them sad. And they wonder why? Well, because the Lord's not going to give you that stuff unless you have your life right. Unless you have your priorities straight. Why? You can't have it. You know, you say, well, guess what? I don't get to go on vacation. So what? Your life should be a vacation. Whether you're here or not. You know what my favorite thing in the world to do is? To come here and to see you and to talk to you. And to speak to you. That's what makes my life complete. I don't need to go on vacation. I dread the thought of going on vacation. It's far more trouble than it's worth. And then everybody's pulling and pushing and tugging and saying, let's go here, let's do this, let's do this. Like, you know what? I don't need to do anything. I'm living a dream. It is. And we haven't even begun to see what it's about yet. But we'll be there. And for a lot longer than we're going to be here. That's called understatement. So anyway. There's so many in Laodicea under discipline. He said, those that I love, I chasten in discipline. So repent, therefore, and fly right. So many under discipline, out of sync with the word, and yet completely in sync with the world. Out of sync with the word, but in sync with the world. Having worldly riches, exchanging worldly riches for the riches of God's word. Which is true riches, which enriches the soul. And yet, this treasure that so many would love to have if they saw what it really was and what it really does, it remains hidden, even to them. It's hidden in one here and one there, in tiny pockets, in a tiny remnant by the election of grace. These are the reason for the prosperity of a nation, for the blessing of generations, for times of peace and victory and more. These are the heirs of the kingdom that the world deems pitiable. When in fact, they're the reason for a nation's peace and prosperity, revival and recovery containing the indwelling Christ and the word treasure in their chest. Right in their chest, the treasure. They look like everyone else, but they are unique, having a different source of spirit than the rest. No one knows them now, but all will know them then. They think differently, speak differently, act differently from the rest, and therefore often excluded and mistrusted by the majority of others. They're an enigma to men and angels. Neither able to evaluate their thoughts and motives, which are kept secret, kept hidden, lest the enemy aim at them and hit them. Hated and rejected, though holding back disaster, calamity, judgment, corruption, like salt and light. Though mortal, visible and physical, invisible to men, they don't know who they are, and fallen angels. Hidden, as it were, in plain view. Irrepressible, indestructible, even bulletproof. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4:1. Paul talks about these things. Direct reference to the Trinity. 2 Corinthians 4:1. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we receive mercy, it's all about God's mercy. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by His mercy He saved us in washing, regeneration, and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Titus 3:4-6. Chapter 3:4-6. He says, we've received mercy, we do not lose heart. We don't faint or become dejected or depressed. No matter what. But we have renounced the hidden things, the things hidden because of shame. Those are the things we got rid of, the things that were hidden, shameful things that were hidden. We kept hidden. Not walking in craftiness or adulterating, selling it out, prostituting the word of God, but by the manifestation of truth, commending ourselves not to people's emotion, but to every man's conscience. The norms and standards of his conscience. That which presents him to God as one who is known of God. And all that he knows to do and ought to do, ought to think, say, and choose to do. That's the conscience. Governs those large segments of life and time. And all that we are, the essential and determining function of a man's life. He says, not walking in craftiness or adulterating the word of God, but by the manifestation of commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, what happened to the rest of my verse? Oh, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In whose case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, who is the exact image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants, bond servants, for Jesus' sake. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God that shines from the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Remember, he went and found the treasure, bought the land. So that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God, seem to be of God, and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but never despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus. So that the life of Jesus also, resurrected one, may be manifested in our body. That's here and now. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death. For Jesus' sake. This died and that died in my life. I'm crucified with Christ. From now on, let everyone leave me alone. I won't boast in anything except the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby I'm crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me. I don't need glorification. I'm on one. Right now. This is so much fun. I just love it. What's there not to love about the Word? What's there not to love about the person of God, Christ, Jesus, the Holy Spirit? What's there not to love? He's all together. Unashamedly love him. Express your love to him. Demonstrate your love one for another. And profess your love for him one to another. So, he says, for we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifest in our mortal flesh. Verse 12. So death works in us, but life in you. But having the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also believe, therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. We're going to be in this thing together. We're in it now, and we'll always be. For all things are for your sakes, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause a giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but though our outward man is decaying. No, really? Yes, it is. Yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. That is, if you get the word day by day, first thing every day. Carry you through each day. For this momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are real, enduring, everlasting, eternal. For this purpose, Christ sold all that he had to buy the treasure and hid it again and will not reveal it until the time when the earthly kingdom comes. At that time, everyone will see the reality of the riches and the inheritance of the saints, their opulent wealth and glorious life, their eternal resemblance to the Son of God, shining brightly, reflecting his glory and splendor throughout the universe. So the scripture teaches us, tells us. In the meantime, the devil can't touch them. He can't find them. He can't see them. So why? Well, even as God couldn't find Adam in the garden. You say, well, he could have found them. He goes like this. Adam, I saw you before. I knew you before. You were here visible to me before, but now I can't find you. Where are you? Over here, Lord. Ashamed, so I hid. Who told you you were naked? Even his God could not see Adam when he sinned and hid himself from Christ in the garden, and that's
Habakkuk 1:13. His eye is too pure to look upon sin or to fellowship with iniquity. He can't. He can't see it. That's why he has to see wrapped in a robe of righteousness and the garments of salvation. That's the only way he can see it. It's like in Christ. And just as Christ, when he was made to be sin for us, was without help from God, as he suffered and died in that wormhole between heaven and earth, time and eternity, so too the wicked one can't find us and can't touch us because we're hid in Christ in God. Until he appears, until Christ appears, we will stay hidden. But when he appears, we'll appear with him. Turn to Colossians 3:1. We're right on time. We're going to finish about what? Noon. Okay. Hunker down. I'm kidding. We'll finish on time. I wouldn't dare want to keep anybody past an hour. Oh, what do you mean? You could watch 2.5-hour movies and 6-hour miniseries. But you can't listen to the word of God. It hurts. Something's wrong with me and you, if that's the case. Because sometimes we go, okay, enough is enough. No, you can't. You only have so much capacity for the word. An unlimited capacity for movies. Here we go. Colossians 3:1. Therefore, if, not if, since, it's true. It's a first class condition. First class, third class. First. First hearing? First, yeah. It's called fulfilled condition. Since, therefore, you've been raised up with Christ. Keep seeking the things above. Raise my brother, raise my view. Together with you, Lord. How's it go? Raise my what? My thinking, raise my view. Yeah. I knew that song was in the message. I can sing it when she can sing it, but I can't sing it by myself. And you wouldn't want to hear it? Therefore, since you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above. Not on things that are on the earth. You see, that's hard not to do. Well, it's impossible. That's what the Lord has to do. That's why you start thinking. You have to put your thoughts on an elevator first thing in the morning. So that you're not tethered to the earth every day. And the things of earth. You want the things of earth to grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and earth. As you behold, as in a glass, the Lord's glory, as you focus on Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. Set your mind on things above, not things that are on the earth, for you die. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, he's going to come and he's going to unveil the treasure. It's kept in the earth. Therefore, when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body, that's your limbs, as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also used to walk when you were living in them. But now you also put them all aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices and have put on the new self, who is being renewed in the true knowledge according to the image the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, or Gentile and Jew. Circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free man, but in Christ, but Christ is all and in all. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, whoever has complained against anyone, just as the Lord has forgiven you,
so also should you.
Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Here we go, verse 16. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. That's the thesaurus, the word church. With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Here we're to live filled with gratitude, desiring to please the Father. We live out our days gathering up wisdom, laying up treasure in heaven, where moth and rust cannot corrupt, and where thieves cannot break in and steal, hiding the word in our heart, giving ever greater priority and increasing value to the thesaurus, the word church, that which is hidden, done in secret before God, and shall be rewarded openly before men and angels. The treasure hidden in the field is the word of God, hidden in the heart, that Christ sold all that was his, that you might have within you that eternal value before God, and reign as rich royalty with Christ forever. To him be the glory, both now and unto the eternal ages. By grace, through faith, amen. Nothing is more valuable, rare, or precious. Nothing you do on earth is more important, more effective, more essential, or pays greater dividends. No stocks, no bonds, no annuities, nest eggs, retirement plans, or portfolios have value like these. No wasted time, talent, or treasure. Rather, the full measure of profit, production, grace, glory. Selling all that you have to get it. Buying the truth and never selling it. Proverbs 23:23. Wisdom is above all, most valuable, therefore, if it costs you everything you have, get it. Proverbs 4:7. Proverbs 22:4, one of my all-time favorite verses I got from sitting in an Eaton Park over in Monroeville after church service with my friend Mike Lee. He said, and just in conversation, the reward of humility and the fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life. That's one of the greatest verses in the Bible, don't you think? The reward of humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. I want riches and honor and life, don't you? The kind he gives. Christ sought and bought the treasure. He owns the land and the contents, the property and mineral rights. The treasure is the word of God, with faith it produces, the ever-increasing eternal value it possesses. This is the treasure for which he gave his all, for which he gave his life, for which he sacrificed all that was his. 2 Corinthians 8:9, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. It's hidden until he appears, at which time the treasure will be on display for all to see, for all to marvel at. 2 Corinthians 1:10, Paul says, when he, Christ, comes to be glorified in his saints on that day, and to be marveled at among all who have believed, for your testimony, our testimony to you, was believed. Proverbs 16:16, just write these down. How much better, just listen. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? What better? And to get understanding is to be chosen above silver. Philippians 3:7. Whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count them all to be loss, refuge, in the view of surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but junk, so that I may gain Christ. I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, which comes through the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God, on the basis of faith. Hebrews 11:24, By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy passing pleasures of sin, considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Revelation 3:18. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire so that you may become rich, and white garments so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes so that you may see. Finally, he, Christ, is our treasure, and we are his treasure. The value in us is his person and word. He indwells us. And his word is to richly indwell us. The king and his kingdom, the word of his grace, which builds up and reveals that which is hidden, the inheritance of the saints. You may think that this is kind of a mixed metaphor, but in fact, it only serves to further demonstrate that we are his and he is ours. 1 John 4:17, by this love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. That which is hidden in the field is the church, whose roots go back to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Ephraim, the 10 lost tribes, many of whom became believers in Christ by the sovereign plan, purpose, and will of God, whose origin was unknown even to them, and were persecuted, who came to America, and will be shown for all eternity to be the treasure hidden in the field. You say, where do you get that? Oh, if you haven't been here for the last 10 years, then you won't know what I'm talking about. This was God's doing for the exaltation and eternal honor of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice in accordance with his promise to fill the earth with the descendants of Abraham through the Egyptian-born younger son of Joseph. How perfect. How ironic. A safe haven for Jews and a promised land for the world. A nation of many nationalities where faith in Christ as Lord and Savior flourishes. Where the state cannot interfere with the church. Where the word of God sounds forth from millions of pulpits. Radio and television. There's no place else in the world where this happens. Radio and television programs where missionaries are sent into all the world with the message and ministry of reconciliation. Let it be known that America was founded by Jesus Christ and exists for his glory. And let us tell the world that it's still true, that in God we trust. Try to find the treasure. Try to see it, even try to take it. For you won't find it, see it, or take it. For it's hidden in plain sight. Only Christ knows where it is. It's God's secret that is hidden with Christ inside of God. God only knows, and solely knows, those who are his. And let everyone who claims the name of Christ depart from wrongdoing. 2 Timothy 2:19. We're done. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for getting ready. And if I could have my usher, we only need one today. Angels don't give to the ministry. Only people do. I told you angels were in all the other chairs. But Father, bless the offering and concluding elements of our service and deacon's meeting that follows in Jesus' name. Amen.
We can all stand.
Mm-hmm.